All right, if you would, in your Bibles tonight, turn to Luke chapter 11. Of course, tonight's kind of an unusual evening. We don't have our normal specials, and we're also going to get away from, we've been preaching through the book of Philippians, and we'll resume that here in a couple of weeks. But tonight, because a lot of our adults are not in here tonight, I didn't want to continue that particular study. We'll wait for them to rejoin us. And so tonight I want to give you just a lesson on prayer. So more tonight will be more a devotional type time. By the way, I want to improve in my spiritual life. Don't you? And one of the areas that I feel in my own life I need improvement is prayer. And prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. And here of late, just we had the opportunity yesterday morning. We have a men's prayer meeting every Saturday at 8:30. And I appreciate we have several faithful men who come out and are here on Saturday. I know some of you can't make it. But we were able to go down to the rest home where Brother and Miss Minnick are at. And we had an opportunity for the men to gather around Miss Minnick. She hasn't been doing well and hurting. And she had a stroke about 8 years ago. And now has having some other health problems that are really causing her a lot of pain. And there's no they haven't been able to help with the pain. Or if they help with the pain, then other problems happen. And so Brother Minnick just asked us to come down and pray with him and pray for her. And what a blessing it was to go down and lay our hands and just pray for this fine lady who's been a faithful preacher's wife for years and years and years. And what a blessing to see a husband in his early 80s being so faithful to his wife. I mean, he physically is pretty good. I know he's not great. I'm looking back at some of the family. But pretty good. He didn't have to move in with her in the rest home. He could have lived on his own. But there faithfully with her in the rest home, what a blessing. What an example to us. But to get to pray with her and get to pray with Brother Minnick. And the question still comes up a lot. What can we do? Well, the greatest thing we can do is prayer. And sometimes, even in my own life, and as a pastor, somebody will ask me, well, what can we do, Pastor? Well, I said, all we can do is pray. I hate that. I try to stop myself. All we can do is pray? That's the greatest thing we can do. The best thing we can do is to pray, especially when, you know, this is it. You know, there's Miss Minnick, they've tried several things. This is it. God is the great physician, and God can intervene. And so we need to remember that prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. And we as Christians, and we as believers and children of God, and God is our Heavenly Father, we need to strive to improve in our daily walk with Him, strive to improve in our prayer to Him and our relationship with Him. Look at, this is a familiar passage. Luke chapter 11. I'm not going to give a verse-by-verse summary or commentary on this tonight. I just want to point out a couple of things. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we know that is the Lord's Prayer, but I would tell you a better title is that it's the model prayer. Lord's Prayer is found over in John 17 somewhere else. But this is the model prayer. So he says, this is how you should pray. And it says there in verse 5, and he said unto them, gives them a parable. So now he's going to give them an illustration to help illustrate. He's going to give them a parable to help illustrate what he has just taught them. A parable, by the way, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I just want to go ahead and say it from the very beginning. Importunity basically means persistence. If somebody's knocking on my door at 12 o'clock midnight, and they're needing something, and I say, man, I'm asleep, leave me alone, but they're persistently knocking and won't stop, something's going to happen. And so if he's a friend, I'm going to get up and give him what he was asking for. And not, you know, because he didn't give up the first time. Sermon's over. I mean, that's it. The Lord has given us this lesson right here. And says, and he said unto you, verse 9, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Let's go back. Look with me, verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are within with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you that though he will rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's pray. Lord, bless us this time. Bless us the reading of your word. I pray that you would give us again the encouragement as we pray to be persistent. In Jesus' name, amen. Here again, we see the disciples asking Jesus how to pray. And they use the illustration that John the Baptist had prepared his disciples. And apparently, as we see in this example, that John the Baptist must have been a man of prayer. And he taught his disciples how to pray. And Jesus prayed, we know this, and he prayed. Jesus prayed at his baptism. He prayed before he chose the 12 apostles. He prayed in private many, many times. Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. And he was God. And he was a man of prayer, speaking to his heavenly Father, laying down an example for us. We find over and over again, we are encouraged as Christians to pray. Pray without ceasing, Thessalonians, and on and on and on. We are encouraged to pray, to speak to God. I enjoy tonight when I get home, whatever time that ends up being, between 9 and 10, my dad is either going to call me or I'm going to call him. I enjoy talking to my dad. I enjoy talking to him. I'm going to tell him, hey, we had the best day in our church in attendance on a non-special day. That's special to me. I'm going to tell him that. And he's going to say, that's great, son, and pat me on the back verbally over the phone. Okay, whatever. I like my dad, and I just appreciate the encouragement my dad gives me. And then we're going to talk about the kids, and he's going to ask about all the grandkids, and we're going to talk about this and that, and we may talk about, I don't know, cars. Or, no telling. But I enjoy talking with my earthly father and spending time with him. As I said this morning, I went to the farm Thursday evening, spent the night at my dad's mom's house, spent the morning and afternoon with them. I enjoyed it. I enjoy spending time with my mom and my dad. My mom and my dad. It's a special time. I enjoy spending time with my Heavenly Father. I enjoy it. I don't do as much as I should, as all of us are in that corner, probably. But I enjoy it. And I'm telling you, all of us are encouraged by the example of the Lord and by the example of John the Baptist and by the example of the apostles to pray. If I were to summarize what the Lord's Prayer, as it's been called, but we'll say the model prayer says, it basically is saying, praise God. I'm giving you the acronym again. We do this all the time. But in prayer, when you go to pray, the first thing you do is come to the Lord and praise Him for who and what He is. And by the way, I just want to point out, after our Wednesday night messages this year, and all the attributes of God, you should be able to go and pray a little better. Right? Because you've learned the attributes of God, you've learned more about who and what He is and what He's done for us. And when you first kneel to pray, you're praising Him for who He is and what He's done for you. And take some time just to thank God for the blessings and thank Him for your family and your children and your home and thank Him for your job. Thank Him for your health. And just give him praise. And take some time just to humble yourself before Him and praise Him for who He is. Thank Him that He is a God who is in control. Thank Him that He is a God who's all-powerful. Thank Him that He is a God who's never changing. And Our world is changing so fast, but we have a God who never changes. Thanking for that. God, I'm thanking you that I have an anchor that is sure and steadfast. And you don't have to say it that way. That's preacher talk. But you can say, Lord, I thank you that you don't move. That I can stand in a firm foundation. And everything else around me is quicksand. I have a sure footing in the Lord. And just praise him and thank him for who he is. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to still have hair on my head. And I mean, just whatever you want to do. I mean, just praise him and thank him for everything. And I believe there's even a biblical pattern for us to thanking even for the bad things that have happened. Lord, thank you for sending me into this valley. And God, I don't know what it's for, here for. I don't know what the case is, but Lord, thank you for the valley. I mean, I love that old song. Lord, I thank you for the valley I walk through today. Anyway, it's a good old song. Thank you for the valley. It's hard to thank you for the valley, but we're supposed to give him thanks in everything. So the first part of our prayer is just spending time, hallowed be thy name. Lord, Lord, praise you and thank you and just spend some time. And don't rush in there, you know, and just start asking for stuff. Right? By the way, pray means ask, so you can't pray and not ask for something. So you praise him. Number two, you repent. You repent. You repent of your sins. Listen, the Bible says, makes it very clear in the Psalms and two or three other places that God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. So you need to come in and get the board clean. Lord, and I even many times approach it this way. Lord, forgive me of such and such. By the way, it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to make sure you understand that it's not to come to him and say, Lord, forgive me because I'm a sinner. That's what you did when you got saved. But afterwards, it's appropriate and right and just and good to pray and ask God for forgiveness of every sin, not sins in general. He wants to hear them individually. I don't know about you, but when I got disciplined as a kid, my dad brought me in that room, was about to apply the Board of Education, the seat of understanding. I didn't say to him, Lord, I didn't say to my dad, forgive me, you know. No, my dad told me, what did you do wrong? And had me name it. Well, this is what I did wrong. Back up. Give me like 2 seconds to quieten down. You know, my dad was like, you don't stop crying, I'm going to give you another one. Anyway, and then you explain it to him again. He'd ask, what did you do wrong? This is what I did wrong. And then we might wrestle. Honestly, my dad would whip me and we might wrestle the next minute. It's awesome. My dad was so good. Anyway, but you repent. Repent of your sins. So you say, well, preacher, I was raised in a home where my dad used that term, Lord, forgive our family of our sins. You know, and Daniel prayed for the sins of the country. And sure, you can... There are some examples in the Bible of that, but when it comes specifically in the New Testament, it says to ask for forgiveness of sins. So I would encourage you, and I practice this in my own life, to ask for forgiveness of every sin. So there is time when you might want to ask and say, Lord, help me, reveal to me the sins in my own life, so that I may ask for forgiveness of those sins. And I promise you, don't take too long as you practice this in your own life, that God will reveal those things to you. It's amazing. And then number three is ask. And I always say, probably ought to ask for others first before you ask for yourself. And so ask for others and pray for, pray for Miss Minnick and pray for Miss Judy England's having surgery Thursday. You know, I point because that's where she normally sits. She's in charge of desserts for the VBS. You know, pray for the guys in our people in our church without jobs. Pray. I mean, just and then you take and you pray through the prayer list we have on Wednesday night. Pray through that list. Pray for your Sunday school class teachers and workers. Pray for those. Pray for your neighbor and maybe someone you're working on. Take some time there to pray for those around you and others and your children. And just take some time, pray for your spouse. And pray for your pastor, please. And pray for your pastoral staff. And just take some time, pray for your missionaries. That's the time to do that. And ask for God to bless and be with them and so forth. And then ask for yourself. And that whatever that may be, maybe there's a financial need, a health need, it's not wrong to ask. We'll say, preacher, that, you know, I don't know. No, you go to God and you ask. All right? You knock. It shall be given unto you. You ask. And you ask for yourself and you pray and ask God to whatever you're needing in your own life. And then yield. So praise him for who he is, repent of your sins, ask for others and yourself, and then yield. yield to His will. This is the toughest part. God always answers prayer, always. Right?
Yeah.
He always, yes or no, you know, or wait. But God has His own timing. But the principle found here is that just because God doesn't answer or seemingly doesn't answer your prayer the first time doesn't mean you give up praying. So we have Miss Minnick, whom we prayed for yesterday, and because God didn't heal her yesterday afternoon, does that mean we stop praying for her? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's the parable that's given to us, the illustrations given to us, that of persistent, being persistent in our requesting. The time was midnight. The guest was uninvited. He came to the door of his friend. He was in a crisis situation. He had no bread to give to his guest. Had no bread to give to his guest. It was a crisis situation. I'm telling you, if you're prayed up and you come to God in a crisis situation, He's going to listen. I'm glad that, I mean, we shouldn't use God as a 911, but I'm glad that when we do, He's there.
Amen.
Right? That's what I'm saying. In such crisis, God gives us an opportunity to reveal Himself strong to us, whatever that may be, as we come to Him. By the way, He wasn't being selfish. In other words, when this man came and knocked on the door of his friend, he wasn't being selfish. He wasn't asking for something for himself. He was asking bread for his friends that came in, right? And then we think about the refusal. The door shut. The family was asleep. But then it was back and forth. Asking, refusal. Asking, refusal. The Bible says in Luke 18, men ought always to pray and not... Remember the verse? Faint. And not faint. Men ought always to pray and not faint. I just, again, the principle found here is be persistent. Be persistent in your praying. When you pray, you should show the need to the Lord. I think especially we think about the need of whatever it may be. And tonight we have some need for jobs. And so as you pray for a job, you're saying to Him, Lord, I have need of a job to provide for my family. Lord, You've said in Philippians 4:19 that You supply all my needs. Right? He's promised that. You say, you're going to quote the Bible to God? Yes. Just like a lawyer, I'm going to state my case before the Lord. Right? I'm going to state my case before Him. Lord, You promised in Your Word to provide my need. Lord, would You provide my need? And you go through there. And again, it's praying and not fainting, not giving up. Praying and not fainting. Now, I'm going to clarify some of this as we go along. And then He answered. He answered. Why? Because of importunity, because of His persistence in asking. He was like a beggar. It wasn't vain repetition either. It wasn't that He recited some prayer over and over and over and over and over and over again to the God. God certainly doesn't want our repetition. He does want our persistence. He wants our persistence. He doesn't want our vain repetition. That's what the Bible, the term it uses. We think about this with Abraham and the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Abraham asked the Lord. You know, if there are 50 righteous people there, will you not do it? 40, 30. And he was just persistent, wasn't he? I didn't see God get mad. I didn't see the Lord Jesus get mad. That was a theophany. It was God in the, you know, as an angel of the Lord there. No. If there be 10 righteous people, I'll spare the city. Yes, he said yes. Isn't that good? But Abraham was persistent. And so, again, that's the principle. I've already said that 1,000 times. But that's the principle. Being persistent. Being persistent. And there's so many other examples. What would happen had Abraham quit? You know, what had happened had this man in the parable quit? He'd had no bread for his visitors. Right? The request would not have been answered. But the request was answered. And then it was what? As many as he needed. That's good stuff, isn't it? I'm glad that God supplies the need as many as we need. Who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Right? The Lord owns it all. My God shall supply all my needs, what? According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He owns it all. He is not lacking in supply. But many times we're lacking in our persistence. We give up too quick in our prayers. If you look there in verse 9, I shouldn't have closed my Bible. And a very familiar prayer passage we use a lot of times in Luke. Turn there, if you're not there, I shouldn't have closed my Bible. Look at Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. I would encourage you, if you'd like to learn more on prayer, you can go on the internet. You can find out John R. Rice preaching this sermon on that verse there in verse 9. Ask and it shall be given to you. Ask and receiving. Listen, you simply ask, God will give it to you. Right? Another pastor tells us to ask in faith and God will give it to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any one of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If Caleb comes and asks for bread, am I going to give him a rock? No. If he asks for fish, will I give him a serpent? No. If he asks for an egg, am I giving him a scorpion? Am I going to hand my son a scorpion? No. And then we, being human beings and selfish by nature, would give good things unto our children, then what makes you think that the Heavenly Father won't give good gifts unto us? That's what he's saying. Our relationship with our children, how much we love our children. I want to do things for my kids. And you know what? From the very beginning when my kids were small, I told them, man, as you grow older, Daddy wants to help you. Daddy wants to be an encouragement to you. And I said, and some of you don't do it this way, but we've done it this way with my boys. I'll pay half. I'll pay half your truck. I'll pay half your insurance. I'll pay half your college. I'll pay half. You're going to work for the other half. I just like that. But there was also a little addendum on that. If you act right, if you don't rebel, if you rebel, you get nothing. You get goose egg. Right? I want to do good things for my kids. And by the way, because my kids aren't perfect, but because especially the two older ones come along that stage, I've even done a little more than that. And I may do even more than that because they have done what I've asked. They've obeyed. They're slightly good kids, okay? I'm prejudiced. They're mine. But they're slightly good kids. And so I want to do for them. It doesn't grieve me to do something for them. It blesses me to do something for my kids. And don't think God's up there just going, it's not that way. He wants to do good things for you. Micah's still seventh grade since he's not in here tonight, is he? I'll talk about him. Seventh grader, he is persistent. There's things that he's persistent about, man. He asks over and over and over and over again. And there are times he ends up getting his way, right? We shouldn't, as parents, we shouldn't let him do that, but we do. By the way, our wives can be that way too. Shouldn't have put that in there. Rent the whole message, didn't it? Now every lady went, won't listen to the rest of the message. That's okay, men. We're the same way in certain things. I want a gun right now. I've got it picked out. So anyway. But we want to be a blessing to our kids. And God wants to be a blessing to you. He really does. He wants the best for you. If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for fish, he's not going to give you a serpent. If you ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Pray. Pray. And this is the crux of the matter as far as prayer is concerned and the answering of it. Pray until God answers or changes your mind. Pray until God answers your prayer or changes your mind. I don't know how many times I've been praying for something or for someone or whatever, and the Lord's changed my mind about the whole situation. I'm glad He didn't answer my prayer in the way that I wanted Him to. By the way, about half the time, at least, He doesn't answer my prayer the way I intend for Him to. Does it so many other ways. It's amazing in the church, in this church's history, in the life of this church, how many times prayer has been answered in just ways I never would have thought of. And God's used people that I never would have thought God would have used. It's amazing how God does that. And God does not always do it our way. In fact, a lot of times He doesn't do it our way. Again, if this man would give bread to his neighbor, how much more will God answer our prayer? We live in His house. We're under His umbrella. My kids are in my house. My wife is in our house. I'm there. I want to be the protector. I want to be the provider. I want to be the priest of my house. How much more does our Heavenly Father want to protect us, provide for us, minister to us spiritually? Absolutely, He does. We just need to be persistent. A lot of times we're just not persistent in our praying. Persistent in our praying. Be persistent. Keep it up. Keep knocking, and He'll answer your prayer. Amen. Let's all stand. We are going to have a short invitation. Is Mr. Bird is still around? Or